You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hey everybody, Paulie here with Hard Drive Radio, and I've got to keep a freaking lid on my inner fangirl right now because I am super happy to have in the studio with me right now one of my favorite people, Winston McCall of Parkway Drive. Man, it is so good to see you.
Thank you very much. You have a very nice smile at this point in time.
Oh, why, thank you. I mean, honestly,
you're keeping a lid on it, but I can see the grin.
This is probably like the best Monday all year for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everybody hates Mondays. You drag your ass into work in the morning, but I'm like, hell no, man. I get to talk to Winston today. It's a good day.
Awesome. Cheers.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, man. It's good to have new Parkway Drive music on the way. I think we're about like 2 weeks out from the release at this point. We're recording this.
I think less.
Yeah.
I think it's less.
Oh, man.
We're under the 2 week mark, which is crazy.
So. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you guys, you know, I think you were talking before we started hitting recording about, you know, that doldrum between when you finish the album and then when it gets released and just kind of waiting and counting
just
the
waiting.
Days. Like, the anticipation has to be just like, you know, even for fans, they're anticipating this album, but even for you guys as the band, the anticipation has to be so high.
Oh, it's crazy, man. To be honest, like, that's the hardest time being in a band, like, in terms of music. You finish the record, and you're so proud of this thing you've made, and you're like, and now you got to sit on it for 4 months. Yes, it's the biggest buzzkill. So, to be honest, like, it's really strange, though, because that's the only time I'll listen to our records, because as soon as it comes out and it takes on, like, the live character, I don't listen to it anymore. Now it lives in the live world, so I have, like, 4 months where I can enjoy our music just listening to it on a record, and then it's done for me. So, yeah,
that's
that
it.
Time's coming to an end for me.
Oh man, you have to treasure those last. Few
that's
moments.
It. Yeah, yeah. Treasure the last few sins.
So the new album is called Reverence. Tell me, when did you start the writing process for this one?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's like 2 years.
Wow,
probably 2.5 years ago now. The way we write takes a very long time. Like, we are big. Like, it's a big distillation process of the sound for us, basically. Like, we find that little grain or spark which is interesting in a piece of music, and then we record it, and then we add to it and add some more, and then we sit on it for a while, and then we go back to that piece of music and find what we really think is special about it after a bit of time, and then we go back to it again, and then we write something to go with it and build the album in that way, because we write albums, we don't just write songs. So we find that if we take that amount of time on it, then by the time it comes to record, it's the best possible incarnation of that sound as possible. And you don't like go in and record something and then 2 weeks later go, damn, I wish I put a bit more time into that riff. So that's why it takes so long, basically.
You should give lessons to the Tool guys about writing.
Yeah, how to do one really fast in comparison to
them. Yeah, exactly. No, 2 years.
Yeah, that's it.
What were they going on, like 10 or something?
Doing? Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, you know, when you're writing, can you, or do you look to, art or other music or current events for inspiration, or when you're in that writing process, do you block everything out and kind of just go inward totally?
It's a block to a certain degree, like, especially on this record when it came to music, like we put out Ire, and it was such a, like, it was a departure. It was the first time we'd ever departed from a sound. And as soon as people didn't just have That's Parkway as a reference point, they were just like, now they sound like this. I'm like, well, we weren't ever trying to do that, so this time we're just going to not listen to anything. We're just going to focus on what we're doing and just focus on the interesting things that we were creating. As far as like everything else in our life, like it all filters in. When we write an album, like, it takes such a long period of time. It's basically a reflection of us over this snapshot of this period of our lives, and that's what happens. So there's a lot that's gone into this record because it's been a crazy time for us. So yeah,
I imagine a bulk, you know, of that time where you guys were writing was also touring for you. So
yeah,
you know, some people don't like to write while they're on the road, and
yeah,
and some people can pull it off.
Yeah.
You guys tour constantly.
Yeah,
so that works for you. Is a lot of the writing on this record, does that come from that experience, you know, touring Ire, a record that for you guys, as you said, is a departure from what you normally did and kind of an evolution of your sound?
How long have you got for an answer here?
I've got as much time as you want to give me, man.
Okay,
this is my
okay.
whole day.
So here we go. I'll lay out basically what has happened while this was getting written. So we put out Aya, we recorded that, and then the first tour that we had in America, one of the members of the band's partners got diagnosed with cancer. Yeah. So we, like, that was just like a grenade getting thrown at us, basically. And then everything's blowing up with Io, and the band's just exploding, and then we're dealing with this complete tragedy behind the scenes. And then, like, a couple of months later, my dog gets diagnosed with cancer, and he passes away after 2 weeks. And then, like, a month later, we go on tour in Europe and do, like, the biggest festivals we've ever done, like, the craziest shows we've ever played. And our friend Tom from the band Architects passed away from cancer. Yeah. So that was, like, I couldn't even describe that, like, having to go on stage that night. And then it was, like, the last week of tour. And then a week later, like, our band member's partner passed away.
Jeez.
So it was, like, it completely redefined us as humans. So, and since then, there's been a bunch of other stuff happening at home with other friends and family members passing away. So this is all happening while we're writing this music. And it just, as I said before, like, this music is a reflection of us. So it comes out in the sound, and especially the lyrics. Like, the lyrics I just write when I need to write, or when I feel like writing. And the lyrics came out really, really dark. So there was a lot of music that we had which just had to match the tone. So that's why this record's come out sounding a lot darker than anything we've done before. And there's, like, there's a lot of variation in it. And there's less moments where, I guess, there's no vice grip part two, the kind of thing. It's just a reflection of a time period which was, yeah, hard.
Yeah.
Like, really hard, that's it. So, yeah, that's how life like, influences our writing.
That's really brutal, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, that's all right. Like, it is what it is. That's the thing. And it's still really raw. And I've been shocked at how much I've been rocked, like, doing interviews for this album, because I've laid it out in some pretty plain terms in a lot of these songs on this record. And there's many moments where people, like, no one knew about any of this stuff going on. It was the kind of thing where we were literally just going, what do we do now? And trying to protect ourselves and trying to protect the people in the band. And we didn't want to dump this into the spotlight. And at the same point in time, we're dealing with the most popular this band's ever been. Like, and it just rocketing, and this complete polarization of our life. So, redefining is definitely the word. Like, it's redefined who we are, and in correlation with everything that's worked and redefined what this band can sound like.
It's, you know, it's always been a quality of art that some of the most beautiful work comes from, you know, the most tragic of inspiration.
Yep.
And music is absolutely no exception to that rule.
Yep. I agree.
And, you know, I'm glad that you guys can kind of turn all that tragedy into a work of art that we all get to enjoy and kind of share in your experience.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. Cheers. It's, I've always been attracted to somber music for some reason. It's always given me something. And, it's not so much that it's a release as well. It just happened to fit. And I'm stoked that I was able to actually perform the music for this record, because it was hard to write down a lot of these words. And there's performances on this that are, like, that were physically hard to actually perform just because of the emotion in them. But that's what music is for me. It's being honest and being able to put that much honesty and put that much of ourselves into something that truly, like, is a reflection, a very, very honest reflection of who we are, is what matters. Because the band's always been honest, just this is an entirely new degree and really redefined that meaning.
I was going to say, I'm glad you said that, because, you know, honesty is one of the things that I've always loved about this band. You know, you guys this isn't some kind of like, you know, rock star facade that you put on, you go out and you have fun. I mean, you know, you guys are who you are on stage and off the stage. You're the same people. Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons you're, you know, as well received as you are. People can kind of smell that fakeness.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, yeah, it's fun for like a minute, but it gets old real fast.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. Like it's, I'm glad you, like we know each other, but you know, that's the thing. Like we've never, walking into this, we've come from nothing, and everything we've had has just been like, whoa, this is a crazy opportunity, and we've just rolled with the good times and the bad. It's just there's never been a point when we've had to fake it, and it's just this happened to be something where, man, it's sorrowful, and I'm not going to turn around and fake that as well. So yeah, that's a thing. If you're gonna do it justice, you're gonna have to suffer for it sometimes.
So I do want to get on into more of the nuts and bolts of recording the album.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm happy that you shared all the stories with us.
Go for it.
Because I can see that it's difficult for you to still talk about it.
And, yeah.
You know, but so I appreciate.
No, it's all good.
Honesty.
It's just the context. So yeah. There we go. Like it's
recording this album. You know. Yeah. 2 years of writing an album, and then you finally you're ready to go. Where did you go to record, and who did you work with?
The same crew we did I with, man.
Nice.
You'll be happy to know that.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, like, it took us so long to work with George and Dean for Aya, and when we did, it was a complete revelation for us. And like, to be honest, there was no, we didn't even question it when it came to this one. And the really awesome thing was going back and working with the same team in the same place. Like, those guys are family for us. And we got to start at the same point we left off with Aya, like with every aspect of it. But that meant saving a whole bunch of time, which meant we got to put more into the music, because the more time you spend in the studio fiddling around with your tones and all of that kind of stuff and setting things up and wondering what you're trying to do and getting a communication method going with your team, is time you could be spent actually making music. So we just literally, like, we had the vision when we had a much, like, more expanded vision for this record, which we were holding in our heads the whole time, which we had to spend time in the studio making. So it was cool to just go in and go, right, here we go, bam, we're in, go.
When you guys are recording, are you still rewriting parts that you're unsure about, or is it pretty much like set in stone?
To a minimal degree.
Yeah.
The way we do it is like, it takes about 3 months to actually record a record. So I don't want to sit there for a month while Ben hits his drums and have me going, hit that snare again, I don't like the tone. And I don't want to sit there while they're tracking guitars, and I don't know anything about guitar. So we pre-record the album in Byron at home, and basically make a dodgy version of what the album's going to be. Like, this is what the songs sound like. And from that point of it leaving, we do all the final bits of tweaking for those songs. Once it leaves that studio, we just go and make the polished version of it. But there's like 1%, I'm saying, that we tweak here and there once we get in the studio. And we don't add any of the extra strings or any extra compositions in the pre-production that happens in the studio. So there's still this big gap between the pre-production and what you have imagined in your head. And this record, more than anything else, there was a very big gap, because there's a lot of extra stuff on this. And I'm like, well, I can't play violin and I can't play cello and synths. Yep, got no idea how to program them. So they're going to have to wait. So we had to hold a lot in the imagination. And luckily this time, like, it was on faith with the extra stuff on IR. This time it was held in confidence, which was a really nice change.
You guys, you know, Parkway Drive has always been a very media savvy band. You always have great pictures.
Oh, thank you.
Good video. And I know I saw two little video teases of you guys in the studio. Do you have, a lot of work of you guys going? Is there going to be like a making of film coming out maybe?
I love that stuff. We're always filming everything. Like, we've got two DVDs out, and we filmed a lot of studio stuff. And then we kind of haven't stopped filming since then. And we've done some, like, the album cycle hasn't started, and we've done a bunch of wild shows. So we shall see what happens. Like, it's about time for us to release something else visual. We're not quite sure what yet. Like, the media landscape changes so quickly these days. So I don't know, Parkway Drive virtual reality coming at you. 2020.
Do it.
There
yes.
we go. Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
I'd love it. Actually, you know what? Because now I'm thinking about, you know, the video that you guys shot for The Void.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was this one camera perspective, and it kind of moves around this space.
Yeah.
Doing a virtual reality kind of thing like that would be really cool. Yeah. Instead of, like, you know, having the camera doing the movement, you just have the 360 camera, and then the person watching the videos looking at what they want to look at.
Dude, the potential for that stuff is crazy.
Yeah.
We said it, like, before we, I think it was, like, the first year of being in a band, we're like, one day virtual reality shows will be a thing. I'm still not quite sure how it's going to happen, but having, like, put on a VR headset, I just go, this is going to happen at some point in time. And I don't think it'll take the place of, gigs, because you can't experience a gig through technology. Like, it's, but you could do something awesome. I for some reason in my head, I'm copywriting this right now. having like some kind of gig, but halfway through it, like, it turns into like Call of Duty Zombies or something like that. So you turn a gig into a zombie invasion or something like that. There's so much potential for just cool, I guess, incarnations of live music when it comes to technology. So yeah,
I'd say VR would never replace a show for me unless they can figure out a way to simulate a circle pit.
Yeah,
like, if I can't, you know, run in a circle
really
with a bunch
good
of
treadmills
other people, you know, it's just not going to be the same for me.
That's it. Yeah.
The new single that we're playing right now is called The Void. It kicks ass, because of course it
Thank
does.
You. Cheers.
tell me a little bit about writing that song and the thought process behind it.
Oh man, where do I start with this one? The really cool thing about this song is, even when we released it as a single, like, you don't get the full impact, because it kind of is a companion piece with the song that goes before it, which is not 100%, but we wrote them together. And the way this song came about was, the song before, it's called Cemetery Bloom, and it's this really vast orchestral piece. And at the end of it, we're going to drop a real heavy riff, which is the riff you hear in The Void, like the main riff. And after we wrote that piece of music, we came back to it the next day and we're like, the riff's too good, it's got to be a whole song. So we cut those two in half, and Cemetery Bloom, like, ends, it's this beautiful song, and it literally, like, it leaves you hanging on this note. And then when The Void hits, it just is like a kick to the teeth. And when you get that transition between the two, it's even better than just as a single. So that's it. We just wanted to write something that stomps, 100% stomps. So we write albums, and in sequence, this is even better.
You know, it's funny, because it's such a tease for me right now. I was just handed the album as you guys came into the studio. And, like, I just want to, like, cancel the interview right now. Like, fuck it. I have
Chuck
to listen
on,
to this
buddy.
Thing.
Yeah.
Come back tomorrow. But I can't do that. So I'm just going to have to,
yeah, that's
to wait
it.
Until
yeah.
afterwards. The video for The Void, so freaking cool.
Thank you.
It looked like it was a lot of fun to shoot. You know, was that, you know, your guys' idea? Did somebody come to you with that?
Oh man, it was so hard to think of a concept for this. And eventually Ben found Alan, the director, and he had the concept for it. And he's like, it's going to be filmed by a robot, and we're going to be here doing all these things, but because it's a robot, we can make it like all one take, but there's like three of you in the one picture and you can't figure out. And we're just like, all right, man. Yep. We couldn't make sense of it. And right up until, like, he's like, we got to have a meeting with the stunt crew, and we're on tour, and he's like, we got to come and meet the stunt crew. And we thought we're just going to shake hands with some dudes and go, yeah, we're going to do some stunts. Cool. And we rock up, and there's three, like, professional Hollywood stunt actors, and they're like, right, boys, we're going to be doing proper stunts. Who's getting thrown through a wall? Someone's going to get set on fire. We need you to learn these combination, like, hits and stuff. And we're just like, what the hell have we got ourselves into? So it was pretty cool. It was like our own little private action movie, which was awesome until I got set on fire. It was just terrifying.
Well, see, that's what, did you, like, did they say, okay, we're gonna set you on fire, or were you like, I want to be set on fire?
They were just like, does someone want to get set on fire? It'll be really cool. And for some reason I was like, sounds like an experience.
Right.
Me, yep, that was great. And it was really, really, it was really good until the fire. Because it was like, it was serious, man. Like, it was fully, they weren't screwing around on set.
Yeah, that's not a CGI effect.
No, it's not a CGI effect. And that's the one, there was two takes before that where the flame was like twice as big, and I had to drop and get put out after like 5 seconds.
Wow.
Like, I didn't even get to the singing part. and I ended up with blisters on the back of my neck.
Oh, man.
We had to learn all the safety procedures and everything, and they're like, as soon as you feel hot, you go down because that's just only going to get hotter. And I'm standing there and the camera's rolling and I can see flames like completely consuming my body, and like the look on all my friends' faces just going, that doesn't look safe. And then I just felt the heat and I was like, and I'm done, and just dropped on the ground and got put out. So yeah, it gave me a new respect for fire.
Yeah, man. Ever since, you know, I saw that Vice Grip video, I was like, I know you guys do your own stunts. Like, yeah. That was not a double, like, you know, getting pushed through. What was that?
Ben got thrown through the wall.
I'm sure that was really him getting thrown through that wall.
Yeah, it was all us. I cut like a fake bit of wood to the head when Jaya like missed the, he's supposed to hit it over like one of the
stunt the guy comes through the window, right?
Yeah, it comes through the window, but he hit me in the head with it. So like you see me just go, oh, to the ground afterwards because I copped that to the head. And like all the, there's flashbangs going off and stuff. That was all real pyrotechnics at that point in time. So like, and we're going to have an explosion now. And my head's just getting rocked over and over by all these things. And yeah, it was a wild experience. It was, the scariest thing was the camera. Like that was a robot that, it's like something you see that makes cars. And they're like, once that's
like
going,
a big arm, right?
Yeah, huge arm, which is just spinning around at super high speeds, getting these takes to create that effect. But they're like, if you're in the way of that camera, it's just going to take your head off and keep moving. So you had to know where it's moving, and it was going really quick in all of these different movements. So it was just trying not to get decapitated while flashbangs go off and people break in. It was intense, man.
I mean, the end results are well worth it.
I'm stoked with it, yeah.
Would you do it again?
Not. Probably not. I wouldn't do the burn again.
Okay.
I'm proud of myself for doing it, but it was one of those things like human barbecue, done that one, that's good.
The other song that I've heard off this album, that everyone's heard off the album so far, is Wishing Wells.
Yeah.
Tell me about that one.
Because
that's a dark song.
Yeah,
that's a very dark song. And I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, that song's about, like, it's about dealing with grief. Mm. And it's about the trying to come to terms with the loss, basically. And after, like, everything we talked about, like, just when you're faced with such stark, like, there's a face that you're never going to see again, which is part of your life. Trying to find something to blame for where there's no blame, basically, and just trying to rationalize it, because you need to rationalize things to be able to deal with it, and that's what it's about. And the whole performance was based around being true to that character, and that goes for everything on the record, actually. Like, character was what ruled this record. It was knowing that there wasn't just one way of performing these songs which was correct. It was about finding what was emotionally true and mining that to get the emotion across, and making sure that everything connected and having the connection, which meant like a lot of variation. So there's like, that's a really raw song vocally. Okay. It was about like not just going for like scream A and then scream B and putting them together. It was just about like screams of agony, basically, which is pretty gnarly, but yeah.
And when you recorded that, was that all one take and you just kind of like,
Pretty close.
Did you push yourself harder than you usually do?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It was kind of like, it's not a controlled vocal take. It was like, I switched all the lights off in the studio, and it was done at like 10 at night, and it was pitch black in the studio, and we cranked the heat up, and I had my shirt off, and I'm literally like with my fingers like in my mouth, pulling at my face and stuff. And it was heavy. Like, it was really, really, really heavy. But that's kind of what was needed. It freaked everyone out because I'd never done anything like this. Normally it's just like we go in and we do it, and there was a bunch of these different occasions where we took different approaches, but the studio is pitch black and there's just the glass, and we do the take, and then they couldn't see in, and all of a sudden there's like this ghost pressed up against the glass going, how was that okay? And they go, oh. So yeah.
You know, it's I'm happy you say that, because I feel like when I was listening to that song, they really did a good job capturing that emotion.
Yeah,
it's just so brutal.
Yeah, it happened with a lot of these songs. It was there was no like wrong take. It was simply, in the past, you'd have to make sure like it was pitched right, or there was no breaks in the scream, or it had to be like you were looking for technical perfection of what we are doing. And when you're not aiming for that and you're aiming for character, all we were looking for was connection. So we'd have like five different takes and we'd just sit there and go, what makes you feel? And we just find that. And a lot of the time it was the least perfect. Like it was the least perfect one. We're like, that's it. And that goes in. Like it's not the one, like people are going to go, oh, his voice is a bit broken there. I'm like, yeah, that's it. Like that's exactly what we were going for there, because you can't sing these words and it be perfect, because that's not a true representation of how the words make you feel in that moment.
And the video for that one too, it's like the polar opposite
yeah.
of what you guys did for
it's
the polar
Void. Opposite of anything we've ever done.
I've never seen you guys do something like, and it's just like raw, it's there.
Yeah.
It's not static. You're there, you're doing things, but it's just a close-up shot. And you know, if anybody hasn't seen this video, it's just a very close-up shot of your face in a dark room.
Yeah.
And it's just you singing the whole song.
Yeah.
And
it's strange because it's like I keep saying this. It's like everything on the album, but it's like unlike anything we'd done before. But when it came to doing the visuals for it, staying true to the concept of like it has to be the emotion, and we had the concept of taking that one take, and we were going to do some other stuff to it, and we filmed the takes, and it didn't take that long. It was just like, be the song, like. That's it. And we did it. And then we watched it back and we're like, you can't add anything else to this. Like, it's not about necessarily entertainment. As soon as you add an effect to it or you chop something, it breaks the tension and it breaks the realness. And it's about real human emotion and that's it. And we were literally just trying to figure out if this is all you could release, because it's so unlike anything we've done before. But that's the way it had to be. So we were like, this is totally different. We're in a completely new realm with so much of this stuff on this album. So that was the first big thing where we're like, this is going to really freak people out. First thing they're going to see from this album is just my head for like 5 minutes. So, yeah.
The title of the album is Reverence. Tell me how that came about.
So that is a reference to the frailty of life. And realizing how quickly everything can be taken away and how much we take very small things for granted. And it's the small things which you find yourself missing. Like when it's actually gone, like we always think in these massive terms of like, it could be a terrorism attack, like it could be earthquakes or tidal waves or aliens or something. And in reality, like you never know what's just around the corner, and you don't know what's in people's cells, and you don't know, like, you could slip over in the bath or something like that. And when that happens and you lose someone, it's these tiny little things which you realize were so special that you never take time to actually notice. And that's what it's about, because, yeah, it's life is quick and we forget that.
The artwork that you guys have been using to promote the album, I thought it was going to be the cover art, but I can see now it's a little different.
No, it's in there. That's just the O card.
Oh,
buddy.
That's right. You can see the...
No, if you take that sleeve off, there's another sleeve as well. So
okay.
There's a lot of art for this one.
Yeah, and it's like, I was looking at that, I was like, you know what, this reminds me of a Hieronymus Bosch painting. You know, Hieronymus Bosch, Garden of Earthly Delights. It's a very, like, you know, artistic depictions of hell and torment and all this stuff. And
look it up.
Great painting. You know what? If you see the painting, you're going to be like, oh,
that one?
You know it.
Yeah.
You know it, but cool. You don't know it. But yeah. So I was wondering, like, you know, the artwork for that, is that, you know, was this a classic? Is this something that you got to use? Or
It's by an artist called Peter Paul Rubens.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's from Belgium. And
there it is.
Yeah. But it's a tweak on it, but I think the original piece is called The Fall of the Damned. And the whole idea for the artwork was to match the album. Like we wanted it to give off the impression of this is a different era. Like we're coming out of Ire, which was white, and you've got like Vice Grip, and you've got like Bottom Feeder, and you've got these songs which have like such a, people are always like, oh, it's heavy, but it's got a really uplifting feeling, and the artwork matched it, and I wanted this one to go, well, this one is literally about what we were going through coming out of that lightness and just falling like over and over into this darkness. And we wanted it to be taken seriously, basically. And as soon as like I was working with our guy Donnie for the artwork, like explaining him what we wanted, and bouncing around images, and as soon as I saw that, I was like, that's it. That completely sums up everything about this album and everything we've been going through. And luckily, he's like, we can use it. So it was nice.
Tell me about, you know, the packaging for this, because some bands get very hands-on with how they do all the designing, and some bands, you know, they
just go,
they have
whatever.
A team of guys to
make
do
it green.
You know, so like how much hands-on are you guys are with with, you know, the design and you know, just getting it all right and perfect?
We like getting it right and perfect, but that means we work with people who know how to get it right and perfect.
good.
Because at the end of the day, like, it's like producing a record. Like, we know what we do, but I don't know how the hell they do what they do. So we trust in people, and Donnie, we trusted in. And for every little thing we had in our mind that we told him, he'd take it and come back with something like three times as good. So it was awesome. We're very hands-on in the sense of putting everything we can into the concept, but he'd take those concepts and take them to a whole nother level, which was really, really great, and make the details work, because it's the details that matter. We want it to count. And I still believe in, like, at least heavy music, that it's all connected. Like, you're talking about a type of music where I want to see what is represented physically, and I want to read the words as much as I want to listen to the music. I want to feel that connection the entire way through. So getting it right is a big deal for us.
There are several pre-order special editions and colored vinyl, and I think they're like, you know, distinct to different regions and everything, you know.
There's a few.
Is that you guys saying, hey, this is cool, or is that just...
Yeah, no, that's us.
Yeah?
I've got like six versions of them at home. I actually went to our label in Australia like the week before we left, and I was like, I'll have every different version of the vinyl you can give me. So I like out of all the mediums, I like vinyl the most. I don't know why, but I just do. I like the fact that the artwork is that big, and man, that artwork on the LP looks insane. But the actual physical, I think the physical vinyl itself is the nicest physical medium to hold, and the fact that it's been actually etched in. CDs are fine, but I look at them and they're all shiny and they look like computers, whereas a record doesn't look like a computer. It looks like someone's carved that music into something, and that's real.
I actually, now looking at the packaging for the new album, Reverence, I can imagine how good it's going to look on a big vinyl LP.
Yeah.
I have the Iyer album,
yeah.
Big vinyl LP, and it's just, it's a gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. So I can't wait to see what it looks like. I have to pick
I'll
one
get
up.
One to you.
I'll buy it. I'll pay for it, man. You already gave me one. I can pay for it.
You got
one.
Me coffee this morning. I'll get one to you.
Yeah, that's fair then. Yeah, all right. That's cool, Dre. Yeah. Good. You kicked off this year with a pretty kick-ass tour celebrating the 10th year anniversary of Horizons.
Yeah.
Tell me about, you know, going back to that album and kind of, you know, retreading that ground and kind of looking back on how you guys have grown and evolved over the years.
It was a really interesting one. It was a really interesting one because I haven't listened to that record in so long. Like I said, like, it's as soon as an album gets released, like, it takes on a whole new life. That live environment, and I don't listen to the albums anymore. And I'd never thought I didn't think the band would last 10 years, let alone people saying, that one, give me that album 10 years later. So going back and like re-listening to the album, I definitely reconnected with it. Like, I was like, whoa, I see why people like really love this and why it had such a big impact, especially in Australia at that point in time. And it startled me how, when we played it live, how contemporary the music actually felt, because I did expect it to feel like it was made 10 years ago. Things date, and it didn't feel dated. It just, like, it still felt intense, which was really, really nice. And the best thing about it was, I think we performed it better than when it actually came out. So it's nice to know we're getting better rather than worse. The older we get, the better we get. And I was like, yes, this is great. I expected to be over the hill by now.
Tell me about playing those shows live. You know, how the crowd reaction was to playing these songs again.
It was interesting. It's the best those songs have ever gone, because at that point in time, like, when Horizons actually came out, while it was massive for that period of time, especially in Australia, it's nothing on what this band has become. But when we announced that tour, like, the shows just sold out. Like, mental. And when we play the songs, it was like the best reaction to those songs that they've ever got. That being said, like the Eye songs are a realm unto themselves, which is really nice.
We were talking about this before a little bit, and I was kind of poking fun at, you know, the internet gurus who you know, the self-proclaimed experts in music and
the gurus.
Yeah, you know, like Horizons is
rulers
the album
of the
that
internet
kind
realm,
of, right? Everyone's like, oh, you know, Horizons. Anything you wrote after that is just not as good.
Yeah,
that's the one album. Yeah. It's like, you know, you guys have grown and evolved. You know, you say yourself, you're playing better than ever. You're bigger than ever, and it's, you know, Horizons was important for you guys. That was your breakout album.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But you know, that's not the end of you've done. That's just the beginning.
Yeah.
And I don't get people who just dwell on that one point and refuse to acknowledge anything that comes after it.
It must be a little bored.
Yeah.
I can't relate to that kind of stuff. But simply because I like hearing things differently. So. That's fine. Like if people enjoy that album that much, man, I'm so stoked that we got to write a record which people are that passionate about, which is really, really cool. But I'm not going to stand there running on the spot just for the sake of those people going, keep running on the spot, because I don't like running on treadmills.
Yeah, it's you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Yeah.
The U.S. tour starts in a couple days now, actually. So tell me about what you guys got coming up.
Oh, man. This is the start. Like we've got a bunch of festivals, and we got a bunch of shows in between with our friends in Stick to Your Guns and Bad Omens, and this is where it all starts. Like the album comes out on May the 4th, while we're on tour, and then it's just like, bam, these songs now exist, and we're going to be playing them. So we're super pumped. It's come around really, really quick, and it's really nice to be back in the States, and it's really nice to be like launching the album here, which is going to be really, really cool. It's just going to be a really busy year. Like it's, I look at the calendar and the shows that we have from now on, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is going to be insane. So May the 4th,
it's on Star Wars.
That's it. I didn't even plan that either.
No,
I didn't figure that out until like a month ago, and someone told me, and I was like, yes, so that's just a bonus for me.
Awesome, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Tell me, you know, are you bringing any new production on the road with you? You guys kind of keeping it low key for this run?
I think this one's. I'm not sure what we're bringing. I think it's definitely not the full thing, because at this point in time, we haven't reached rooms which we can bring the full setup into. Like it, literally, you have to play in a venue which has doors of a specific size to be able to wheel the equipment in that we're running in some venues these days. But we put on like whatever the biggest possible show we can in whatever rooms that we have, and we're going to be back. If it's not this tour with like as mental as it's going to be, then we're going to be back again before the year's out. Like this is just like the warm-up kind of thing, a little celebration tour because the album's coming out, and then we got some stuff planned, trust me.
Good. Yeah, I saw it's like, you know, it's a very short run of dates.
Yeah.
You know, it's only about 2.5 weeks worth of shows, and it's like, no, there's got to be more.
Oh,
and
there is.
We know how these things work. You know, you don't want to announce it until everything's confirmed. So I didn't want to pry, but I'm glad you said you're coming back, because I was hoping.
Yeah. It's really good.
I remember, you know, kind of looking through photos and videos of the European tour you guys did last year, and all the production and that big spinning drum rig and all that stuff. Like, I want to see that, man.
Yeah.
Is that thing still over in Europe? Or?
Oh, that's still going.
Yeah?
We're taking that to Australia now, which is awesome. Like, we're doing some of that stuff, like, for Euro festivals, because we've got some insane festivals. Like, some of the slots we've got, with like, headlining the second stage for Guns N' Roses at Download, which is, so you got to go big. If you're going to play before Guns N' Roses, you got to go big. So we're bringing some stuff. But it would be awesome to get to rooms where we can run that in America. Because I like, it's a show. It's the kind of thing where while it's going on and I stand off the stage some point in time and look on and just go, this is nuts. Like, it just looks absolutely awesome. And I really want a chance to bring that here. So anyone that's listening that normally comes to Parkway shows, bring 3 friends that have never come to a gig next time, and then we'll have a room that's big enough where you can see something real.
I'm bringing friends.
Yeah, there you go. All your friends. Compulsory attendance.
What was it? We were talking about the last time you guys came through and you played out in Long Island.
Mm.
and just, you know, the amazing show that you guys put on. And I've been telling my friends about it. And now you guys got this show coming up in Starland in New Jersey.
Oh, Jersey.
And I'm like, come on.
Oh, my
come
God.
Come on. I'm bringing new people with me.
Jersey is the show.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We don't have to do any. That's just like a riot, an absolute riot. Starland's like, I can't remember a gig that we've ever played there, which just hasn't looked anything other than out of control. So if you got new friends that are coming there in for a time.
Yeah, that's a good venue, man. I like Starland.
Fire.
Yeah. It's going to be freaking awesome. I wanted to ask about the book that you guys put out last year, because that was a cool collection of like historical
stuff.
That
wasn't last year. That was like 5 years ago.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, well, I just got it last year.
That's all right. That's cool.
But yeah. Like, tell me about, you know, putting that thing together and just like digging through the archives. And
it's insane the fact that we've been able to make a book. So I don't know where the idea for that even came about, but we've always collected things as we've gone. We have either, like, our drummer's parents have collected every single T-shirt we've ever had. Luke, our guitarist, collected every flyer. I've collected so much press clippings, and we've had so many photos and everything like that. And at some point, we're like, oh, we could put this together in some kind of book. And our friend Callum, who did the artwork for IR and Atlas, was like, I can make that. I've made a book at some point in time. He just does everything. And
he's a good friend.
Really good friend. Really awesome dude. We just gave him a box of stuff and were like, find things. And he just started finding these gems. And we made a book. You know how mental that is? We made a book.
You're a metal band.
Yeah, with a book. With a book. And it's really awesome for me because it's almost like a photo album. Just a really professional photo album. Like a really professional photo album. So I love, like, it's I love looking at it going, whoa, I've done some stuff. It's just, it really hammers home how long I've been in this band, how long we've been doing this for. And we've done some wild stuff. Like, we're still doing wild stuff, but like, I look back at that and I'm just like, we started young and we started hard and it's still going. I thought it would be broken by now, but we're still going.
Yeah, the longevity that this band has is something to just really makes me feel good about the state of rock and metal.
Because, thank you.
You know, everyone likes to, you know, take digs at us. And, you know, on our side, we're waving the flag. Rock's not dead. Of course rock's not dead.
Yeah.
Nobody's just, people aren't paying attention. Okay, yeah, we're not pop music anymore. You know, we're not the top selling bands. But that just makes us leaner and better.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Absolutely. And Parkway Drive is one of those fucking bands.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much. I think it means that, like, you trim the fat.
Yeah.
There's no room for fat, so you just trim it off. And, yeah, we're not pop, but what is pop these days? If it's literally background noise for advertising.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that can be played while they sell you a burger or a pill or a magazine or a car. And I think if the music isn't the focus in the first place, then, like, really? Is that what you're going to waste your time listening to? Because there's some really cool stuff, and most of the time it's rock or metal. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we're preaching to the choir here.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
It's true.
Yeah,
you know.
There you go.
They know.
Yeah.
They know the reality of it. Before we wrap up here, anything you'd like to say to the fans who are eagerly anticipating this release?
Cheers. Thanks for like supporting us for all these years. And I don't think people, like, after listening to this, you probably heard some stuff that you didn't know was happening to us. And trust me, like, your support has meant more than you will ever know, especially over these last 3 years. So I hope you like the record, and thank you for giving it time, and thanks for always giving your time to us. We very much appreciate it, and we're going to give you a gig next time you come.
Awesome. Winston, we thank you for your time. The album is Reverence, the band Parkway Drive. Man, thank you so much. This was a blast.
Ah, thank you. My pleasure.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.